We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking my projections on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners at Roto-Viz. I have finished my first pass of projections. And that's right. This is a long, grueling process. Now we get to go through the exercise of having somebody come in and point out all of the things that I may have failed to see, which there are going to be a lot, because at this point, I have not done much bouncing these off of other opinions that are out there. I've not shown these to anybody yet, and I have not done a super critical review to see if anything doesn't line up. So Curtis is going to have the pleasure right now of making a pass through these projections, kind of poking around, seeing what he finds. I'll add a couple of comments a little bit after, but Curtis, did I see some bourbon in a glass for you tonight?
Yeah, you did. I poured some Four Roses tonight. It felt appropriate for the mood. This is definitely going to be an episode of Roto-Viz Raw, because we are really just looking at an incredible amount of new data that's still hidden on the site as of this recording, but it's probably close to being published there, Dave. So yep. This is like the first, this is the first live reaction / scrubbing. So it's going to be pretty interesting. It does take us right into this episode's FFPC stat attack because, man, as I'm kind of flipping through the positions here and looking at all of your outputs, I noticed something with the wide receivers. Five of the wide receivers in the top 20 in your first pass of projections actually changed teams for the 2022 season. So we've got Devontae Adams up there at wide receiver 3 with a blistering 345 PPR points. We also have Tyreek Hill coming in at wide receiver 8, of course, now down in Miami. Marquise Brown, the new Arizona Cardinal, reunited with his college buddy, Kyler Murray. Wide receiver 14. We have Juju Smith-Schuster of the Kansas City Chiefs at wide receiver 19. So this exercise is certainly going to put us on some potential values once we understand kind of Dave's approach to how he arrived at these numbers with these respective teams. And then Christian Kirk, the guy who single-handedly changed the construct of the salary cap, wide receiver 20. New Jaguars alpha wide receiver. I thought that was really interesting. A couple of those guys, man, if they finish here, they would prove to be huge values over at the FFPC. Of course, right now our primary focus is their best ball tournament. Roto-Viz took first and second place last year, looking to do that again this year. You can check out all of the FFPC best ball tournament ADP in our best ball tools here on the site, which is great. Actually, put in a little teaser on the fastest rising running back in the rounds after the top two rounds in today's premium email. So you can find little nuggets like that very easily perusing through the tools. So Dave, I was applauding as you were kind of doing the intro here. This is such a huge lift. And before I maybe point out a couple of the things that stood out to me at each position that are player specific, maybe just give us like a 90-second overview of how our projections are built, because this is such a robust, process. And I want people to know how much like sweat you're putting into this, because it's really cool. And yep. you've got years and years of practice now.
Yes. So first thing I'm looking at is how a team performed last year in terms of win and loss record. Then I'm looking at the amount of running plays, amount of passing plays they ran, where they compared against league average in the year prior, thinking about what things might have impacted those totals for the coming year, setting rushing and rushing attempts, passing attempts. From there, I am then allocating out the targets, the rushing attempts, passing attempts, those considerations to specific players in the offense, also thinking about where each player is going to fall out on the depth chart. And then from there, I'm assigning that player rate stats. So receiving touchdown percentage, yards per rushing attempt, rushing touchdown percentage, things like that to arrive at each player's specific stat line for the coming year. Largely doing this, assuming that most players are going to play their full complement of games. So it starts at the team level, works down to dividing the pie, and then player specifics.
Yeah. And I love this because it, you know, unless you've actually sat down and gone through the process of projections yourself, I mean, you have to be working from something. And it really should be plays. But if it's not plays, it ought to at least, you know, have some level of adjustment for, you know, team to team factors, you know, win loss record, positive / trailing game scripts, I mean, any number of ways that you could adjust and then, you know, apply some of that rationale. That's how you're going to divide things up. But ultimately, I mean, we can't just say that, you know, Devin Singletary is going to have 900 yards rushing and James Cook is going to have 900 yards rushing and Josh Allen's going to have 600.
Right.
I mean, you're working backwards from what the team can actually do with the number of plays it's going to run and the situations it's going to be in. So I'm just in awe of your ability to do that times 32 and then also consider, you know, at some point what one team does affects what the other teams do. This is all a very dynamic adjustment process, but one thing that the listeners might not know is they can actually use our projection machine to do their own projections, which is really cool. So you might listen to Dave and I on this episode or get in there and look at his stuff when we post it face up here soon on the site and be like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I could do this so much better than you. Or maybe you just, you know, have a couple players that, you know, you're really interested in and want to see what would have to happen in the team context for them to have that breakout season you're thinking about. This is a tool that could be used in that way as well. It's called our NFL projection machine. So just go to rotoviz.com, click on the tools tab, and you can scroll over to, that tool and give it a shot, yourself. So that's a great kind of lead in, Dave. We'll just go maybe position by position. I thought I'd maybe call out a couple of the quarterbacks that were standing out to me. Yep. And some of these answers might be simple. Some of them might be complex. And then I want to see who stood out to you as well as you were doing this. If anybody in the process was high or low. So starting with quarterback, I mean, Kyler Murray is the QB1. And this season, I mean, this would be, I mean, he's the MVP, I got to think, if he puts up this line. 5,220 passing yards, 29 passing touchdowns, does get back to a little bit of the ground production again in this model, which is great. 586 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns, 443 fantasy points for Kyler Murray. And for those of you that play 6-point passing touchdown leagues, it would be a 500-point season. Really impressive. So Dave, what gave you the confidence or what in the model is feeding this type of output for Murray?
Sure. So the first thing I'll say is when I make my first pass, I'm going in completely blind. I am not bringing in my thoughts on that player that particular year. I'm really just punching in the numbers that make sense to me. So Arizona last year had 584 passing attempts. They ran 54% passing plays to 46% rushing. For Arizona this year, I'm holding that split somewhat in line. I actually have them passing 57% of the time, rushing 43. So that's 642 passing attempts, which is a bit of an increase. However, when I think about the way that I expect this team to pass this year, I do think that we're going to see a pretty significant increase in passing attempts. So that's one place where my projections could overstate things. I also have Murray accounting for 21% of the team's rushing work. To give you the insight into what he did last year, let me quickly pull that up. I was looking at James Conner, wrong one. So last year for Murray, he had a rushing market share of 22%, was 28 the year before. So a slight decrease moving into this year, Curtis. Completion percentage of around 71% is what things aggregated up to for him. Last year, he was at 70%. An important note, with the way that we have built out our projections, you are assigning each wide receiver a reception percentage, and that aggregates up to the quarterback, so that you're not saying Murray's going to have 68% and then trying to allocate that to the receivers. You're actually looking at each receiver quarterback pairing, assigning the rate, and then letting it bottle up that way. So it puts him at 29 passing touchdowns, which I think is pretty reasonable. Last year, he was at 24 and 14 games. So when you assume, you know, another two and change per game, that's nothing too radical. So that's kind of the quick and dirty of how we get there.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see this happening. It would require a full 17 games played by Kyler, and you know, we would need to get an entire healthy season from Zach Ertz and Hollywood Brown. And when Hopkins comes back, he would need to be able to produce.
Yep.
But this certainly, I mean, the range of outcomes, as we talked a little bit about last week, also likes Kyler this year. So it's interesting to see this result too. You know, one of the things I've noted, you know, across, you know, just tons of drafting so far this year is, you know, Kyler is kind of that half tier below that first set of guys. Yep. Consistently. You very rarely see him going above QB4, and often, you know, you can get him QB6, QB7, because there are drafts where Lamar Jackson will go before him. There are drafts where Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady will go before him. I've seen Joe Burrow go before him when teams are stacking quarterback and receiver pairings in the early rounds. So he could end up being an immense value, which would be, you know, really fun, because he's a fun player to root for. It's great to see that he already showed up to camp along with Hollywood earlier this week as well. Another quarterback I wanted to hit on.
Hold on, can I just interject there for 1 second? Because I think people, this is worthwhile. If I adjust the team's rushing and passing attempts back to levels from last year, you end up with something where he kind of makes up a little bit in the rushing stats for the decrease in the passing. And he does just fall under Josh Allen. Josh Allen just edges him out. Beats him by about 30. But the point is, even if I do a more conservative approach for Murray, it still looks very good.
Yeah. So that, either way, looks like, you know, maybe he's that upside quarterback fantasy play that we're always hunting for, kind of in those, you know, rounds 5 to 8. It always seems like somebody ends up outperforming, and that's why people draft quarterbacks in the third round again the following year. And just trying to lock that production in instead of finding the next guy that's going to do it. The other name, there's a couple other names that stood out, but I thought we would talk about this one because he's really gained a lot of steam the past couple weeks. And I think this is a good potential reality check. Russell Wilson at QB16. You know, so he goes over to Denver with a much more aggressive and modern play caller. helping to design this offense with Nathaniel Hackett, of course, one of the architects of the Aaron Rodgers, you know, Green Bay years. So, you know, what's driving that for Denver? I mean, he's got about 1,000 passing yards fewer than Kyler and about half of the rushing production.
Yep.
So what's that pace of play, or are there some efficiency issues? What's driving that?
Yeah. So last year, Denver was 45 plays below average in terms of pacing. Now, I know that there's been some changes. Oftentimes when we do have these changes, though, it might take a year before we get like the full ramification of those changes. So I have them on a play volume that's going to bring them closer to league average. You still have a split that's around 47% rushing, 53% passing, falls pretty similarly to how things did last year. But when you compare a play volume like that to what Murray is going to have, it creates a pretty big difference. I also think that when you look at what Wilson has been able to do as a rusher in recent years, we haven't seen, you know, a 6 rushing touchdown season. He's been at 2 rushing touchdowns the last 2 years. Given the 2 running backs that they have in that team's offense, I don't think that you're going to see a situation where he goes beyond 2 or 3 rushing touchdowns. I have him pegged in for 2. And at 4.3 yards per carry on 57 rushing attempts, you're only getting into that 250 type of range. So in comparison to a lot of these other quarterbacks, even at 29 passing touchdowns, it's going to be hard for him to get a yardage total that puts him up into that stratosphere of 5,000. And then he's not accruing as much production with his legs as many of the other players, the younger players in particular, that you would see in the final set of projections that I have produced.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. One thing that you can look at in the projection machine is the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator's personal history. So whether as a head coach or an OC.
Yep.
And so we can see in here with Nathaniel Hackett, what he was doing the past couple years in Green Bay and in Jacksonville. So that's pretty interesting. And when I look at the team total play projection you've got for Denver this year with 1,021 plays, I mean, that would actually outpace, I think, well, it'd be on pace, adjusting from 16 to 17 games. It'd basically be on pace with the most 2 recent seasons he had done in Green Bay.
Yep.
So I think that's reasonable. You know, I think Russ going to Denver puts them in a situation where they can be more aggressive, but they're also more likely to be in many more game neutral or leading game scripts.
Yep.
Than they've been in the past 2. So, you know, the 53 to 47. Pass to rush split that you have, I don't mind either. I just thought it was notable. Russ hasn't really crept. I haven't seen drafts where he's gone in that like top 7, but he's a very popular QB, like 8 to 10.
Exactly.
So in almost every draft that I do. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm seeing that a lot in underdog drafts. Things get to Joe Burrow, right, and the passers ahead of him, and then people lay off of quarterback for a little bit. There's a bit of a dry spell in quarterback. Then they pop back in with Wilson, Prescott, Brady. Those feel like the passers there. Now, of course, just because he's coming out as the quarterback 16 in these projections doesn't mean that I'm drafting him as such. I still think that when I'm drafting, I'm putting him in that range that's between 8 to 11-ish, because that feels a little bit more appropriate when I consider all of the other factors and things that could go wrong for some of the players that I have in front of him versus the probability of things really breaking poorly for him this year.
All right, let's kick over to running back. And there's a couple, you know, standouts there as well. Probably the first one would be a reminder, I guess, of what Saquon Barkley can do in a fully healthy year. I mean, RB6, you know, that's, you know, as many as a half a dozen spots above where he's being drafted oftentimes. And, you know, I've gotten him in the mid third plenty of times. On Underdog in particular. So, you know, he's really approximating what Eckler and Najee Harris are doing in this model. So I don't really see anything necessarily standing out, but this is really kind of a middle of the road projection, you know, 1,100 rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns, 57 receptions, just 2 receiving touchdowns. So, I mean, I think these are like highly reasonable if he stays healthy, and they also probably don't capture what his actual upside would be if he has kind of regained that electric, you know, home run ability that he had as a rookie and for part of his second season. So does anything stick out about the Giants or Barkley specifically for you?
Well, I guess one thing that I would say is my underlying assumptions are assuming that we do see New York function as a slightly better offense in the coming year. If you looked at Daniel Jones's numbers, they're not anything that's going to look very different than what you might expect or what he did last year. But if you look at the team as a whole, there is some improvement as a result. They're increasing their pacing. They actually go above league average in plays, which I think is reasonable. 63% of the rushing attack, 13% for Saquon, 4 yards per carry, 8 rushing touchdowns, which isn't anything crazy, 10 total touchdowns. This does feel like a very baseline projection. For a player like Barkley, you're just left with that question that everybody's going to have in their mind of how many games do you actually get from Barkley? But what it underlines is assuming that the Saquon is able to approximate what we've seen from Saquon before, he should be a player that even with that, you know, baseline type of volume is going to return very nicely, especially where we see him going this year.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I'm seeing here is, well, there's a couple other things that I'm seeing. Really, once you get down to RB3, which is Derrick Henry and this first pass model that you've done, until you get down, I mean, to RB8, you're only talking about a difference of a point a game.
Yeah.
Separating the RB3 through the RB8, who happens to be DeAndre Swift here. Then you get into, you know, kind of another big, long, flat tier that goes from David Montgomery, maybe down to even Alvin Kamara. And so the ADP value of some of these guys that are ultimately, yes, if you assign a positional rank to them, you know, they're going to have a higher or lower number than one another. And, you know, one's RB17 by ADP and one's RB9 by ADP. But what they're going to give you in points per game is going to be very, very equivalent. So, you know, I think that's one thing that that's sticking out here. I don't know that that's what would actually ever happen in an NFL season, because you're not really adjusting for injury in these models. But it is kind of interesting to look at that, assuming 17 games of health. Two other names stick out here. The first one would be Dalvin Cook, RB13. So I want to hear a little bit about that, because that's, I mean, a pretty big warning shot. He's still going in the first round most of the time. And then our old buddy, Kareem Hunt at RB20 in Cleveland, despite, you know, all the craziness going on in Cleveland, and maybe a Deshaun Watson-less season for Cleveland would lead to what we had seen, you know, before 2021, which was you know, a heavy focus on the run game again, and plenty for both of those guys to get. So anything you want to add on Cook or Hunt?
Yeah. So Cook, I guess the first thing I would look at here is the team play volume. Now, last year, they only rushed 43% of the time, which took them out to around 450 plays. I think that this year, you see a slight decrease in their pacing, nothing major. And if I'm actually expecting that rush to pass volume to stay somewhat flat, drop them down to 42% rushing. But even with 4.5 yards per carry, you know, strong receiving numbers, he's getting to 258 rushing attempts, 60 targets. Those are good numbers. But one of the things I think could hold him back a little bit is I did kind of throttle down the rushing touchdown numbers this year, as a lot of the things that I have looked at in models that you would build objectively are starting to forecast a bit of a decline for Cook in some of those measures that you would look at. Last year, it was at a rushing touchdown percentage of just 0.02. Earlier on in his career, he had normally been at 0.05 the last 2 years. This year, I put him at 2.5. So actually, you know, assuming he can bounce back a little bit from where he was last year. So I think this is one of those projections where some of my thought on that player is creeping into what I'm projecting this year. But I don't feel like I'm penalizing him too much for that in the model. It really just comes down to, in comparison to some of the, you know, players that you might expect to see go 1 through 6, his overall play volume just isn't as high.
Anything you want to add on Hunt?
Yeah. So the Cleveland projection is really tough to do this year, Curtis. Because you have to make this big delineation of, do you try to split between Deshaun Watson and another quarterback who I think might be Jacoby Brissett, or do you assume that maybe Baker gets in there? I actually took the approach of assuming that Watson isn't playing and just put in my assumptions, assuming that you have a replacement level quarterback operating for them. As a result, I think that you're going to see rushing attempts be fairly flat with passing attempts. So maybe like a 47 to 53 split. And I think that you do see, with a quarterback that's not going to be rushing a lot, you see Hunt getting to around maybe 33% of rushing attempts to Chubb's 50. But I think that Hunt, when I look at the receiving core this year, could still get up into the double digits for a target share. So as a result, that helps him stay in that running back two type of zone. But in comparison to all the teams in this league, the Browns are definitely up there on, you know, assumptions that you have to make that could easily go the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, and I kind of buried the lead there a little bit, but Hunt RB20, Chubb RB21 in this ranking set, basically on the strength of, or primarily on the strength of that receiving work. So I think, you know, that's ace work by you. Would encourage everyone to get in there, especially at running back. Man, it's just always such a tough position to solve for. But, you know, in those uncertain situations, uncertain backfields, oftentimes, you know, we found some of those league winning values to be, you know, taking the RB2 in those offenses. And, you know, we flag planted on Kareem Hunt in years past. He came out gangbusters last season, and then unfortunately, you know, his year was derailed by injury. So, you know, it looks like in the 2022 first pass projections that we're forecasting that 2020 brilliance from Hunt again. Quickly, a receiver, you know, we already highlighted a couple of the guys that changed teams in the top 20. So let's get a little bit deeper. As we were talking pre-show, a couple of the guys that stood out to you.
Well, actually, Curtis, do you think that we should split this into two so that we have thorough time to talk about these receivers?
Oh, you want to do the tight ends? Want to do receivers and tight ends another day?
I think that they actually might deserve their own episode, because there are a couple players I actually want to dig into. And rather than just me give my thoughts back, I also want to get some input from you to help me see if I need to make some tweaks here.
Okay, then a couple bonus names at running back to close the episode here then. James Conner would be getting massively overdrafted if Dave's projections come true. He checks in at RB24 in this set. Chase Edmonds, RB25, hot on his heels. We see Tony Pollard projecting above Zeke Elliott by not quite a point a game. So changing the guard there. And then, you know, some other really interesting things. Dave and I off air have been talking about, you know, what happens in New Orleans as a result of the potential Alvin Kamara suspension. I like seeing, you know, Mark Ingram, you know, creeping around that RB36 area. And if you were just looking at year-end production there, that's nothing to really write home about. But, you know, that production could come concentrated, you know, really concentrated maybe in the first month of the season or something like that. So all kinds of great stuff. Kenneth Walker and the Seattle Seahawks look like a total abyss of fantasy scoring. So get in there. Let us know what you think. You can drop us a line in our email inbox or on Twitter. And, you know, we can respond with some dialogue throughout the summer.
Final thing, I would encourage you, if any of this you're hearing, you're like, that's crazy, pop in the projection machine and play around. I can only in the final number show one possibility. There's a ton of possibilities. So I always think it's a great exercise to get in there and play around with it. We will be back again this week. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us